gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. I feel heat on the left.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that? Heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks. Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Good morning. How are you?
You're looking and sounding particularly sultry this morning.
Why, thank you.
It must be your new award nominations. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
He just gave us in Germany. He just got back yesterday.
I didn't hear about any of this.
Yeah, well, you would need to get with the program. We are on path to crush Lady Gaga in our quest for world domination now. Sexy Liberal has been nominated as Best New Tour and Best Tour, competing against Lady Gaga and the Monster thing, and Usher, and I don't know, some other...
Right, which is...
Kenny Chesney, and, you know. Anyway, congratulations, Hal Sparks.
Well, thanks. I felt, you know, I felt award-winning for quite some time. It's just nice for people to finally notice
to be
who have them sitting around.
Yeah, and since we're going to lose, I would just like to say it is indeed an honor to be nominated.
Yes. I've always wanted to say that.
If I had any chance of beating Lady Gaga, I would.
Yeah.
The Kenny Chesney comedy show.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we are, what is it, the first comedy tour in 15 years?
In 15 years, it's been nominated, a non-musical since Comic Relief, so we're very, very excited.
And you're up against Best New Musical, South Pacific. Oh. What?
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 It's
new as in Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's a remake.
the original Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you
since
what,
the most recent Pearl Harbor anniversary, yeah. This is the newest production.
We are up against Best Tour against Kenny Chesney, Lady Gaga's Monster Tour, Taylor Swift, Usher, and Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Uh-huh.
Best New Tour, or touring theatrical, up against Adele, Billy Elliot, South Pacific, and Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. And also, this is our favorite, the best production elements, or lighting.
Well, yes.
Billy Elliot, Midtown Men, Memphis the Musical, and something like
that. As I've said, they're going to be very disappointed when they give us the award for best lighting and realize that we actually have crap lighting. We just all do look that good in person.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
they just assume we look terrible. The lighting must be fantastic. They look so healthy.
Wow, it hurts.
That is incredible.
It's minimalist lighting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so brilliant about
it. Yeah, exactly.
A single light bulb.
Katie in Chicago writes, hey, Steph, congrats on the nominations. I'll be expecting smoke machines and crazy colored lighting schemes upon your return to Chicago March 3rd, should you win the set award. No pressure. Just know if the new dizzying flashes and colors should affect your balance and catapult you off the edge of the stage. I'll be sitting in the front row to catch you. Tell Lisa not to worry. I'll be there to merely cushion and show gratitude. It's John and Hal that should bring protective gear to the meet and greet.
Absolutely.
You've been warned.
I'm going to wear
one
of those dog bite suits.
That's going to be one of those Cesar Milan suits.
Arms akimbo. just waddle up to the thing.
It's getting rough at the meet and greet.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
We are off, of course, to Fort Lauderdale this Saturday. Just I think it's essentially sold out, but there may be a couple of tiny single seats.
It's standing room only, apparently.
Yes.
But there's some single seats, which is a great, you know, again, meet some other sexy liberals.
There you go.
Make
sexy.
Some sexy liberals, if you know what I'm saying.
Hello.
It's all part of our greatest scheme.
Sexy Liberal on Facebook and sexyliberal.com for all the upcoming dates. Today is a big announcement day.
What? Uh-oh.
Why?
It's the big return.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs, One Tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Yeah, thank you, Shane. Oh, thank you, Danielle. Wow-wee.
I just want to say that I feel just incredibly honored to be part of something so potentially award-winning and deserving of awards, whether we win or not. Just the value that we bring. I just, you know what?
He's choking up already.
I know. To quote Christopher Guest, I envy us.
Sorry. Shearer, all right, thank you, Hal.
I envy us.
Lord. Yeah, and Chris, as you said, this is kind of a loose ship. Apparently, word leaked out yesterday in the box. This is already going crazy.
Okay, well,
you know, it's for a July date. I don't understand.
It leaked out a few days ago.
It did?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one tells me anything.
Because you think as these dates get closer to the election...
Yeah, a little crazy.
Yeah, it's going to get a bit nuts out there. It's going to be pretty awesome. I think... We need to start doing some dates in, like, really obscure venues and call them Occupy events and just find an abandoned
mall. Just with a flashlight. Yeah, give us a lighting award for this.
How about
just
this?
A flashlight and a blanket.
A factory that was shut down.
Yeah.
Take a factory that was shut down, put up a...
Of course, it'll be freezing.
Well,
this time of year.
No, we'll get Dyson to give us a bunch of those little weird heat loops that that seem to heat like a football arena, you know, and they're these little space
heaters.
Yeah,
a bunch of little space heaters.
Proof
all
that
right.
aliens crashed at Roswell more than any spaceship ever is the Dyson room heater.
And by
so
the way,
weird.
I was saying how we give to obviously a sexy liberal cause in every place we go, and I think we should start to resurrect some of these Republican campaigns, which are providing much of the fodder.
I agree.
For sex, is there some way? Herman Cain is only suspended. I'm just saying, a little sexy liberal confusion.
You know, his suspension's actually kind of smart because he's just waiting for the guild to come off the lily, as it were, with Gingrich. You know, because everybody has this, you know, whatever it is, 24-day shelf life in the Republican field. I'm suspending my campaign until people get tired of Gingrich for the third time.
Yeah, exactly. This is just, I cannot believe this. Julie sends us the latest New York Times CBS poll. Newt Gingrich, especially in Iowa, he enters the final 4 weeks before the Iowa caucus with the, he's way out ahead.
Perfect.
With more voters in the state viewing him as more prepared to be president than Mitt Romney, more attuned to their concerns, and just as capable as defeating President Obama. Wow! Of the nearly 4 in 10 likely caucus goers who say they get most of their information from Fox News, Mr. Gingrich is the overwhelming
choice. What do you know? Since Fox has spent so much time deflating all the other candidates, and that he was... didn't he used to work for a media outlet as a...
Yes.
Paid
consultant,
in between lobbying jobs.
I was the historian for.
And advising Fannie and Freddie during their most egregious periods.
He was a historian. Most mortgage companies.
The history of their.
Here's some bad ideas that have never worked.
Anything he says pass the laugh test? I mean, really? They were paying you for your influence, for your lobbying, for your influence with other lawmakers to try and, you know, it's unbelievable. I love the headline. Long Washington record starting to haunt Gingrich.
Starting?
Yes.
That guy's... He's like the Waverly Mansion I went to, the haunted sanatorium. His political history is so haunted, it might as well be a sunken pirate ship.
Yeah, we asked, a listener asked yesterday, Jim Furry, what do you call it? Scrooge. Scrooge starring Gingrich, haunted by his last three wives.
Oh, right. I got to get on that.
Yes. Or the Gingrich who stole Christmas, either way.
Oh, I did that years ago.
I know. We did do that. We've already done that bit. Let's go back to the old CD from the 90s. That's when we had that show.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a sketch comedy show in the 90s at the Ice House, and my friend Billy just goes, I was just watching the news the other day, and it reminded me of this rap thing you were doing called Nudies in the House, which I did a rap as Newt Gingrich in, like, 94 or whatever.
We don't need to write anything next year for Sexy Liberal. Let's dust all our old Newt Gingrich stuff.
That's our entire work.
Sprinkle in a few Clinton jokes, and you're good to go.
It would be difficult if his ideas had changed in any substantive way.
Actually.
They've actually just gotten, he just doubled down on dumbness.
No, he's just as big a flip-flopper as Romney, only also with the added benefit of being a personal dirtbag on top of it. He was pressed in a radio interview Tuesday to explain his past support of health care mandates, his belief in human-caused climate change, and his advocacy for a certain level of government regulations, all of which he was for, and now he's not anymore.
Wow.
Such criticism
Money
comes
talks,
as,
frankly.
Another Washington Post ABC News poll shows Gingrich 33% in Iowa, Ron Paul and Mitt Romney at 18%.
It's amazing.
Mitt Romney's getting ready to lose it.
Yeah.
He is
who's getting ready to lose it is Ron Paul's fans, essentially. And it's hard to call a lot of his supporters genuine supporters because they're more like fans, unfortunately. But there is no way the way he has an actual grassroots group, you know, working for him in each of these states. He's got actual signatures. The whole deal, as realistic as a campaign can be on the right now, Ron Paul's campaign is. And Gingrich... It's like, what do they make, 4 phone calls to the state a week, and just being on Fox is enough to carry him with the whatever the 19 people who are still insane enough to refer to themselves as Republicans in public, because that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
33% of 15 people is really what we're dealing with, because anybody dumb enough to go, yeah, I'm a Republican, these are the things I believe, those last 10 years were okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Krugman wrote a great piece we were talking about, but sane Republicans like John Danforth are saying, literally, I'm watching these debates going, what the I mean, it just, there are the things that you have to say you believe to be at the front of the Republican pack are just, and I love the Pelosi thing. So Pelosi said, I know some things about Newt Gingrich.
Right.
I know things.
A little bit. A little bit.
All of which are public domain.
Right. And so then Gingrich tries to turn it around. Oh, well, you're the one that has the ethics if you're going to talk about that, which makes it sound, A, like it's probably a lot worse than even we think.
Yeah.
And B, she's like, no, I'm not talking. I'm just talking about the public stuff, Newt. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's bad enough.
Yeah, and any of this, you don't even have to dig that far. You don't. I mean, even the specifics are unnecessary. The general, just broad brushstrokes of who he is terrible.
The general run out of town on a rail is pretty much, you know, So, so the big thing that's haunting him now on climate change, he was on with Glenn Beck, and Beck brought up the television commercial that Gingrich filmed with Nancy Pelosi.
Dun, dun, dun. That woman that Glenn Beck pretended he was poisoning on the air?
Gingrich now says filming the ad with Pelosi was a mistake, and he hedges when asked about humans' role in climate change. He said to Glenn Beck yesterday, there's evidence on both sides of the climate change argument.
Computer says no.
Well, actually, it was an evangelical group that did the spot with that Pelosi-Gingrich thing, that they were really coming down hard on Newt.
Wow, this is your Republican Party today.
The reality is, the vast majority of modern Republican voters who are left over try on their candidates by saying the name with the word president attached to it, like a woman in the 50s planning on getting married. Mrs. Mitt Romney.
doodle.
So and literally they're going,
Mrs. Gingrich.
President Gingrich.
No,
and then see how many people stifle a laugh.
Yeah, right.
President Bachman.
One of the reasons Romney's a front runner is President Romney sounds good to them. It sounds vaguely Rommel-y. And President Rommel.
It's
that Rommel-y would be awesome.
Reagan-y.
Yeah, exactly. Reagan-y, Romney.
He's the only guy with an R. Let's
sounds
just go
good.
With that.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Would you want to have beer with him? No.
No.
I'd have a beer, and he would probably be looking at me from a balcony holding some sort of odd martini glass with a human eyeball in it. Just like, this is what vampires drink.
club. All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Much more to talk about with the Republican field, including the Trumpiness. Back with more Hump Days with Hal next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. You might think I'm crazy. All I want is Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Fox.
Yeah. I want to hear about the trip to München.
München. Yes, Germany. I was there and I saw...
We're sprockets all of a sudden.
Yes. I thought it's very lovely. I went to the Christmas market and whatever.
Which
Weihnachtsmarkt. You know how the idiot's way of speaking Spanish is to put an O on the end of every word, you know. German is by putting, you do an E-N. You put an E-N on the end of everything,
that's
you know.
That's plural for most words.
Exactly. Marketen, it's the,
actually, Märkte would be, that's one of
leave me alone. The point I'm trying to make is, I'm trying to be an idiot over here. I'm not, that's the whole point. To be the ugly tourist, that's the best way to try to limp by. But it was actually very Christmassy and sweet.
Oh, yeah, Christmas
and,
is great.
I mean, it's a, you know, and I, you know, is, and damn. Everybody was exactly what you would expect. I do not know how the Germans would keep a bar, club, or a dance hall open were it not for mid to late 80s American music. Because if, without it,
that's true.
It would just, you would be in a room full of people drinking with crickets playing in the background.
Oh, yeah. Oh, German pop music is terrible.
Yeah. And even they know it. They're like, you know what? We have a lot of things to apologize for. Not the least of which.
You should not be able to match to rock and roll music.
Yeah, by the way, Kathleen Madigan was saying yesterday that nobody cares about Newt Gingrich because it's all in the past, everything he did. It's like, oh, that's a long time ago. So we were speculating whether Hitler could be the Republican front runner if he were to.
Sure.
People were like,
yeah.
What's he done bad lately?
I mean,
a long time ago. We're past that now.
Move on.
Republicans hate Hitler because they think he was a liberal because he's for big government spending.
Right.
Back in the Autobahn, which is the one good thing he did.
Right.
And, you know, it's just
the
like
thing,
Eisenhower built the interstate highway system on the same
premise.
Well, he
was also the first to broadcast television. And unfortunately, because of how radio waves travel, aliens who meet us as human beings for the first time, the first thing they're going to see broadcast from our planet before the other stuff reaches them 30 years later is...
we need to
blow this planet up immediately.
This one's toast.
You know, but everybody's talking now about the president channeling Roosevelt, who is a Republican.
Right.
My point is that, you know, this is where our politics have gone. He's saying the same things that he could have said back then, and now it's...
But Teddy Roosevelt had to leave the Republican Party because it was turning to the right
almost,
then.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and also they switched sides, essentially, you know, late 50s, mid-60s. That's the civil rights fight was actually where Dixiecrats became, you know, Republicans.
Right.
And what were the Republicans at the time?
Southern strategy.
Yeah, they basically just swapped names at one point.
So Newt Gingrich says he will skip the debate hosted by, it's just going to be what, Trump and Gingrich at a romantic dinner?
Trump
for
in
two?
A mirror.
And Santorum. How sad is that?
Oh, God.
What a ticket.
Yeah.
What a ticket, though. Wouldn't that be great? Gingrich, Santorum. Oh, that just, I don't know which is grosser when you Google it.
But can I just say, somebody else made this point on TV last night, Jim, that even Mitt Romney, like, he still had to sort of go up the middle and be polite about it. Like, he couldn't say, this is a joke and I'm not doing this. He just had to say, oh, it's a scheduling thing. And,
take
a stand. Go, I'm not doing this because, it, you know, as Ron Paul and Huntsman said, it degrades the office of the presidency to do a debate hosted by a circus clown like Donald Trump. Anyway, yeah, so Mitt Romney, I mean,
huge,
you know.
Huge circus clown. Huge.
Huge
clown shoes.
I love how they, I think it was.
And Bozo's hair.
Was it Chris Hayes, or no, it was Chuck Todd, confronted him with the fact that they polled people and they said 7% of people said that an endorsement by Donald Trump would make them more likely to select the candidate. 33% said that that would make them less likely to select. And he was
huge. Yeah, that's huge.
He goes, I can't see
huge
how
numbers.
You can say that I have a big following and how I would harm them. And anyways, like, dude, that's what the numbers say. No wonder you're bankrupt and basically hiding your.
Matt is like, a liberal bias.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's amazing.
Good on Romney for not doing the debate, but it's just like, take a stand. Just, I mean, he said, oh, I called him and just said I could.
I'm going to take a stand.
Yeah,
no.
His stand was, I'll be over here.
Him, but yeah. All right.
Or perhaps over there.
By the way, LA tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com or Facebook.com/sexyliberal so you don't go to those right-wing scalpy sites.
Yeah.
Get it. All right. Yeah. And Representative Barbara Lee, speaking of great things in California, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You better keep your liberal pie hole shut.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
This liberal pie hole is open for business.
Thank you. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. One of our very personal favorites, Representative Barbara Lee of the great state of California, joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Thank you so much. You know, I first of all, I love you for so many reasons, but, you know, you keep trying to get the focus back to the thing people want the most, and that is jobs. Focusing on legislation that would spur job creation. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's very important that we don't forget that the reason so many people now are falling into poverty, and the reason that so many people are living on the edge is because we have not created jobs. We have not turned the economy around, and that's a direct result. Of course, we know of the Bush-era tax cuts, the three wars, and Wall Street, you know, ripping us off. And part of what we have to do is continue to remember how we got here so we don't make the same mistakes of the past. And so, of course, the President's American Jobs Act, you know, we should pass that. And immediately to provide a safety net or that bridge over troubled water, which I always talk about, is we have to pass the extension of unemployment benefits, not only for those who you know, would benefit from the extension, who would fall off of the rolls, but also for those who've hit 99 weeks. So, Stephanie, that's a real issue because we have over 2 million people who won't even be eligible for unemployment compensation, even when we extend it for those who would lose it at the end of the year.
Yeah. Congresswoman, one of the things you point out that I often talk about here is, I mean, the good news is the unemployment rate dropped to 8.6 in November. We added 120,000 private sector jobs, but as you point out, you know, we're losing public sector jobs, which Republicans root for, you know, in many cases and cheer about. If the fact is, if we weren't, and those are our, you know, firemen and policemen and teachers, and that's not a good thing. If we were keeping up with the private sector jobs, the unemployment rate would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that's it's a tragedy because public sector jobs are held by our neighbors, as you said, teachers, firefighters, police officers. And when you look at just the fact that, and I'm pleased that the press is beginning to focus on this, is that in the African-American community, because of the history, of course, we know of segregation and discrimination, it was the public sector that began to provide those opportunities for employment. And now, when you look at the unemployment rate in the black community and when you look at the public sector cuts, it is severely impacting black workers like you would not believe. The black middle class is totally being eroded. And you couple that with the foreclosure crisis that was targeted by these scam financial institutions to black and Latino families and individuals, you're looking at a depression and you're looking at a very destabilizing situation in many of our communities throughout the country.
Well, you know, it seems to me, at least even politically at this moment, I mean, the president's winning the debate on the payroll tax extension, don't you think? I mean, it's really boiling it down to these Republicans just being against anything the president's for, despite it being something they've always been for, right?
Yeah, I think yesterday the president really laid it out. I think he laid out who's for the 99% and really who's for the 1% in his brilliant oratory way that he always speaks so clearly. And so I think people are really beginning to understand that we've got to extend the payroll tax deduction for employees. But remember now, you have to have a job to even get the payroll tax deduction. So this is not going to create any more jobs, but what it will do is help begin to infuse the economy with resources and will not allow for a tax hike for those who could least afford it. But we have to get back on track to create jobs. And when you see the debate and listen to what they're saying just about this payroll tax reduction extension, you wonder what, you know, I mean, it becomes clear, you don't wonder, it becomes clear, Stephanie, that they only want tax deductions for the very wealthy and tax hikes for middle income and for the working poor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's becoming clearer and clearer what we are the 99% means. One of the best protest signs I saw recently, Congresswoman, is a woman holding a sign saying, "Hey, Republicans, the jobs aren't in my uterus," because the only legislation they've obviously worked on is this anti-choice stuff, which has nothing to do with what they ran on, right?
Well, it doesn't, but I always said that many of the Tea Party Republicans and what took place at this last election really was about their whole agenda as it relates to their values in terms of eroding a woman's right to choose, trying to stop any kind of marriage equality efforts, you know, and moves. And so I do believe that they had a social agenda, a values-based agenda, and they happen to cover it up by talking about the economy and budget cuts and deficit reduction. But really, I think they are about this whole drive to put religion, unfortunately, back into our democracy, which we're not in a theocracy. This is a democracy. And so values-based religious kinds of policies that really threaten the fundamental rights of people is very dangerous. And I think that's what's taking place.
And Congresswoman, I you know, you make a really good point that, you know, I get tired of people who go, oh, I'm sick of politics. They're the same, both sides. It's like, to me, it could not be clearer, particularly going into this election, the difference in the two sides. You mentioned, you know, marriage equality. I mean, that was pretty stunning, Hillary Clinton's speech, wasn't it? I mean, the Obama administration pushing for gay rights around the world, which is, you know, which is a first.
Well, that's a human right that everyone should be afforded, and I'm very pleased to hear that. I'm a member. They're actually the only American on a UN commission on HIV and AIDS and the law on vulnerable populations, and we have a meeting that's coming up in Geneva, and I'm telling you, our final report, I've been really trying to make sure that in our final report we talk about human rights for everyone, and that means human rights for gays and lesbians and transgendered individuals and everyone. And that is where we have to go. And so I was very pleased that the Secretary of State really put it out there, because that's the morally correct thing to do. We do not need to have we do not need to allow discrimination against anyone anywhere in the world. That's basic to our human rights.
Yeah, well, exactly. And stop pretending that, you know, executing people for being gay in some Islamic countries is you know, is not a human rights violation, if nothing else. Correct. I mean, it's I thought it was just a really, you know, just a really important moment.
Oh, it's an extremely important moment, and it's extremely important when we're trying to address HIV and AIDS and poverty reduction and health care and so many issues that have really been looming forever, you know, in many countries in the world. And the homophobic aspect of these issues has to be dealt with head on.
Yep.
And so we have to do this in a human rights context, and I'm really pleased that, especially on the eve of the meetings that were taking place with the UN Commission on HIV and AIDS and the law in vulnerable populations, that this statement and this speech was given.
Congresswoman, I guess the good news for the Republicans is the strength of their presidential field. what's your take on, I mean, honestly, have you ever seen a field quite like this in all your years?
Well, it's very interesting, to say the least. I think that there's a race going on. I don't believe that necessarily that Romney has it. When you look at what is taking place, I mean, there are other candidates out there. I think what's important is that the public listen to their debates, because all of them are defining who they are and what the Republican Party stands for. And when you listen to all of them, as a Democrat and as one who really believes in the common good and who believes in the 99%, I don't see how anyone in the world could vote for any of these candidates, because they all are, you know, out there supporting the 1%. I mean, income inequality, the creation of jobs, HIV and AIDS, health care, infrastructure development, you know, all of those issues that will help middle-income people move forward and stay in the middle class, and those issues and initiatives that will pull people up out of poverty and keep people from falling into poverty, they are nowhere near supporting any of that. And so I think these debates, among all of them, are really good, because I think they're really defining who the Republican Party is.
Representative Lee, I know, because since you're out here in California, did you happen to see the op-ed in the L.A. Times? This woman wrote an apology to President Obama regarding health care, because
I saw that on television, I'm telling you, you're going to see more and more people doing that, because I think, you know, many of the provisions of the health care reform bill have settled in now, and people are beginning to benefit from them. And so all the scare tactics, all of the noise that was made when we were negotiating that bill, all of the terrible, terrible things that were said about it, people are going to really come to grips with that very soon and really begin to see that the president and the Democrats really did want to make health care affordable and accessible and a basic human right, which it has not been in this country before. And so I think the woman who apologized was very brave. She had a lot of courage, and I'm very pleased that she did that.
Yeah,
I hope more people will come forward and do it.
She really admitted, you know, that she joined the chorus of Obama naysayers, and she didn't really know it was in the health care bill until now. It's benefited her personally, and you know, really was a moving piece. She just said, "I want to apologize," you know, because
I thought that was very honorable of her.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of honorable, the honorable Representative Barbara Lee of the great state of California. Always such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Great talking with you. Thanks for keeping our voices heard and looking out for the 99%.
Thank you, Representative. There she goes. Representative Barbara Lee, the great state of California. Love her. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, one of the big provisions of the health care bill kicked in last week.
Yeah.
I think it was a huge surprise for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Basically, one of the things that allows for... It was one of the big seeds towards single payer.
Yeah, exactly.
80% of costs have to go. Yeah,
we'll talk about that when we come back. It could have been written by Hal Sparks and Stephanie Miller.
It's true.
It was happy clappy liberalism at its best.
Ta-da!
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Don't you? It's Mick Jagger doing backing vocals. Uncredited, but they know now.
Thank you, Jim. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
People thought the song was about him because she sang on it, which is not really true.
Well, there wouldn't be any mystery to it then if you're standing right there. You know what I mean?
Sorry, like now you did it, Jim. Cordell in Kentucky needs you to sing to him. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, everybody.
Come on, baby.
It's the official screenwriter at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fantastic.
Hello.
Good morning, Hal.
Hi.
As promised, today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank Welcome you. To our Great Things from Kentucky segment. Hal Sparks, Cordell, Bourbon, John Yarmuth. All right, go ahead.
I have a request to Jim Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I would like for you to wish me happy birthday as Big Daddy Pimp Herman Cain.
You must tell Jesus that it's your birthday.
You must tell Jesus that it's your birthday. And I hope it's a very, very pleasant 999th birthday for you.
Oh, my God, Cordell, you're a little giddy this morning. You're doing better since your breakup, it sounds.
I am. I'm surviving. My roommate is taking me out for lunch later today. He's also going to be baking me a cake.
Aww.
Very nice.
And I'm surviving as best I can. But I do have a couple requests of you, Stephanie.
Yes, sir.
Would you please post up that I'm Super Jingle on your Facebook page? I've got my roommate singing that now.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Where did you get that from?"
It's an earworm.
It is. And please bring, for our sanity here in Kentucky, bring Sexy Liberal to Louisville. You know, we need you here.
All right. All right, honey.
House home state.
Yeah, there's a lot of straight guys singing that to their wives and have a lot of explaining to do now. It's a catchy little earworm.
If you've got that song stuck in your head, it's your own fault. Blame yourself.
Yeah, blame yourself.
All right, happy birthday, Cordell. Oh, gosh, that's super. He's feeling super.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
He made us all cry. His partner of 10 years broke up with him, and he said, "I gave him the courage to come out to his mom, and she was really great about it." And he made us all cry. And
I
you know what?
I suspect his mom knew already.
You know what we learn? We all feel better with a cute hat. Okay. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. Oh, God, by the way, yeah. I didn't tell you it's, you know, we're getting into holiday season.
Yes.
So, my next-door neighbor boy band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going all Chevy Chase National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation on my ass.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's on. It is on. He had a company come out and spend, like, all day putting lights everywhere in his front yard, his backyard.
Nothing says Christmas season more than hiring people to come out.
Yes.
And decorate your house from that you in a format that you have picked from one of nine they have available. Yeah. I'll take the elf number 7. For my yard, and I'll take the
See, and it already exacerbated.
Santa number 16 for the roof.
Because Lisa, my slightly younger girlfriend, really, really wants to decorate. Well, after her visit to Santa's Village, she really wants to decorate the house, and I was like, I don't want to. We're going out of town. I don't. And then he does that. Now it's on. Now it is so.
Now it's a competition.
Thanks, boy band.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah, exactly.
We have the same thing in our neighborhood. The people across the street always, every year, have this massive display, and we have a couple of.
Whatever.
Right.
I live in the Korean part of Los Angeles. We don't have any decorations of any kind anywhere.
No?
No.
The Koreans stole Christmas?
No, there's a huge acclimation movement, especially in the L.A. area.
Yeah, but still, there's a lot of Buddhists around. So.
That's true.
Has Bill O'Reilly been told?
Korean War on Christmas.
You need to rat them out.
Just like that. Do they know it's Christmas time?
What did you call Lisa? Oh, my ambassador to the future? Because she just got me to operate my iTunes finally.
Aww.
I got my first iTunes receipt. I finally figured out how to get the things in my iPod.
Yeah, it does it automatically.
Yeah.
And you said,
just plug it in, basically.
I am a gay man from 5 years ago. Here is my receipt. Would you like to hear what's on it?
Oh, God.
Single ladies, poker face, raise your glass. California girls.
Wow.
I like dance music to work out to.
Which version of California Girls?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. Oh. With Snoop. Sorry.
With Snoop. Oh, great. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to...
I'm sorry. I've never met anyone from the 90s before. It's nice to meet you.
That's
fascinating. How did you get here?
My child bride gave me a ride on her scooter.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
DeLorean scooter.
Yeah, right.
Corey in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corey.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm so excited to talk to you. But
thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment on the health care reform how it did benefit my family because my husband, he's in his 40s and he is on dialysis. And even though, he's working and everything, we do fear that he can be cut off his health care. So just knowing that he can't be taken off health care because of his disability is really helping us. And then also I have a daughter that's going into college, and I am excited to know that she's still going to have health care while she's in college.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
what I'm saying.
That's just a comment that I want to make. Mm-hmm.
Corey, the real stuff that the president talked about is kicking in. It finally, people like this woman that wrote this piece in the LA Times are finding, I just read the Republican talking points about it. I didn't actually know what was in it,
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway, honey, thank you for that. Yeah, I have to. I couldn't wait for. I almost had to call Hal in Germany.
Yeah.
My God, did you read this piece? It's so great.
Very nice.
LA Times, Obamacare to the rescue.
It's
a woman.
3 a.m. here. What?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm surrounded by socialized medicine. I'm fine. Thank
I'm
you.
Fine. Stop calling me when I'm on the road.
Yeah.
Obamacare to the rescue. A woman who felt President Obama had let the middle class down has changed her mind. She starts it, I want to apologize to President Obama, but first some background. I found out 3 weeks ago I have cancer. I'm 49, married for 20 years, 2 kids. My husband has his own small computer business. I run a nonprofit in San Fernando Valley. I'm also an artist. Money's tight. We don't spend it frivolously. We're just ordinary middle-class people making an honest living, raising great kids, and participating in our community, our kids' schools, and church. Fortunately for me, anyway, she skips ahead. It's a whole story that they really literally had to choose between their house or health care. Mm-hmm. They're not, like as she's saying, they're not irresponsible people. Like most people, they just couldn't afford it. Fortunately for me, I've been saved by the federal government's pre-existing condition insurance plan, something I never heard of before needing it. It's part of President Obama's health care plan, one of the things that has already kicked in, and it guarantees access to insurance for U.S. citizens with pre-existing conditions who've been uninsured for at least 6 months. The application was short. The premium's affordable. I found the people who work in the administration office to be quite compassionate, nothing like the people I've dealt with over the years at other insurance companies. For me, it's been a lifesaver, perhaps literally, which brings me to my apology. I was pretty mad at Obama before I learned about this new insurance plan. I changed my registration from Democrat to Independent, had blacked out the top of the H on my Obama bumper sticker so that it said "Got Nope" instead of "Got Hope."
Wow.
I felt like he let down the struggling middle class. My son and I campaigned for him, but since he took office, we felt he let us down. So this is my public apology. apology. I'm sorry I didn't do enough of my own research to find out what promises the president has made good on. I'm sorry I didn't realize that he really has stood up for me and my family and for so many others like us. I'm getting a new bumper sticker. Cover the old one that's, that says, "Got nope." It will say Obama cares. Wow. Great stuff.
Well, the problem is that he really needs to brag about it more.
Yeah. Well, the issue is he can't
until we get
within weeks of the campaign, right, of the actual election.
58 minutes after the hour, back more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. We're you streaming there, and also at HalSparks.com. It's Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let's get an update from Occupy San Francisco, which got raided last night. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, honey. What's going on in San Fran?
Well, as the light creeps over the horizon, Occupy San Francisco's encampment is gone.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Greg Sir, chief of police, who I've had many communications with, and I said, you know, this wasn't necessary. You know, you have so many volatile people in the city. When they start waking up and seeing what's happened here, it could go any way. I told him that the people he's talking with from Occupy and the people we were talking with the city, there could have been a different way to do it. And I said, there's people that make a difference at Occupy SF that could have met with him. Met with the mayor. I've invited the mayor down there many times. I've been to every mayor's meeting, and I've invited the mayor personally to come down. I said, we'll have four or five people sitting across the table. We'll have a general assembly of hundreds of people around you, and we'll make decisions and make forward progress. They didn't do that, and I think that was not a wise choice.
Well, you know, Richard, what are you guys feeling, though? You know, we've been talking about it here. It just seems to me, I keep remembering, I think it was Cordell West that said, you can't evict a movement whose time has come or an idea. I mean, I think that no matter what they do, if they take off back physical real estate, it seems like it's already changed the conversation in America, don't you think?
There's no question about that. There's multiple things that have occurred at the federal level in Congress. HR Bill 2950, which is for the small businesses do an end run around the big banks to get financing. Citizens United reform, that's being looked at very closely. Three-fourths of the states are ready to go against that. The campaign finance reform, this all has happened in the last couple of weeks. Isn't that kind of coincidental that it's right in line with what Occupy has accomplished?
Yeah. But again, you don't have to stop fighting the good fight. We are going to be giving to some sexy liberal causes, including in Fort Lauderdale. I can't say what yet,
mm-hmm.
but you'll understand it's part of this whole part of this whole idea. And in my opinion, what's next? I'm still waiting for confirmation. Don't look at me like that. We have a big celebrity guest on panel for Sexy Liberal in Fort Lauderdale on Saturday. Our big year-end Sexy Liberal blowout, ladies and gentlemen. And our thanks once again to the Polestar Touring Awards. We are on our way. We have to crush not only Lady Gaga, Hal, but also Usher and Taylor Swift.
Are we allowed to crush her by laying on top of her and not moving much?
If Taylor Swift wins, I'm going to do a Kanye on her. I'm just going to run up and...
I'm going to let you finish.
I'll let her finish, but I'm just going to go Kanye in her ass. Yeah, uh-huh. We're up for best tour, best new tour, best comedy performer. I got to take Dane Cook down, I guess. And best production elements or lighting.
Dane Cook is easy to take down.
He's a wuss. I can take Dane Cook down like a sack of potatoes. All right.
I think that's a celebrity boxing match we would all benefit from watching.
All right, so go to Sexy Liberal Facebook to check out and sexyliberal.com for all the upcoming dates. The big announcement this morning, however.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs, one tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Polestar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Thank you, Shayna. Thank you, Danielle. Mm-hmm. I just went to Trevor Live Sunday. By the way, so Lady Gaga was honored, and the Rademeyer family gave her the award. It was a tearjerker all the way around. And Jamie Rademeyer is the 15-year-old gay kid who killed himself in Buffalo, and that's we gave money to the teen services of Western New York on our last Sexy Liberal, and it was really a she gave a really moving speech. She didn't perform, but she gave the Rademeyer. Nobody knew the Rademeyer was going to be there, and they thanked her because Jamie was a big fan of hers, and it was okay. I'm tearing up thinking about it. Cammie has sent me an e-card to cheer me up. I'm glad Newt Gingrich's surge gives him the opportunity to be despised by a whole new generation. Thank you, Cammie. That's true. Yeah. There'll be a whole new generation of people that hate Newt Gingrich now. A lot of these kids don't even know who he is and have no idea how odious. Shortly.
We need to come up with what his big song would be. You know, they always have a big song everybody plays at their convention. I think it should be Don't Look Back by Boston.
Don't look back, look out behind you.
Like, right. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's what whenever anybody criticizes the Bush administration. Oh, stop it. You're always looking in the past.
Yeah.
Always looking backwards. Don't. Stop it. Don't look at the war crimes.
Don't look what I've done.
They look smaller in
look
the
rearview
mirror.
Look at what I'm doing. Okay, what you're doing sucks just as bad.
Yeah. Of course, Bush had to cancel a trip to Switzerland.
Because they were going to arrest him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
War crimes.
Here is Nudie.
Just look at the record. More people have gotten on food stamps under Barack Obama than any other president in American history.
It's because of him, not because they torpedoed the entire economy under Bush.
Right.
He would get those kids off the food stamps and into those janitorial jobs at 9. That's what President Gingrich would do.
You know what? That's like saying, look how many people went into the hospital and had their chests cut open by doctors instead of going, look at what they ate leading up to them having a heart attack and needing a stint. Look what the doctor's doing to this person.
They're putting bits of metal in
their
arteries.
He's stapling his skin.
What is wrong with these people?
I go into the hospital. You don't expect someone to stab you with a knife.
What?
First he knocks me out. Then he cuts open my chest.
Gives me a roofie. I'm out.
He puts stuff around my heart. He messes with it. He stops it beating for a while and then starts it again. And then he staples my chest shut. What a maniac.
Who are these people?
Never mind the fact that I was stuffing myself with Cheetos and beer and crap for years. It's not that. That wasn't what led me to that moment. It was that I blame the doctor.
Tracy in L.A. giggling on hold. Hello, Tracy.
You guys are hilarious. Oh, my God.
It's true.
Hi, guys.
It is true.
Listen, I went to the Sexy Liberal show, so I can say that. It's hilarious.
Thank you, honey.
Listen, I took issue with, I think it was Mike who said, or Mark, rather, I'm sorry, that said, with regard to the woman reading the letter or writing the letter to the Times, that the problem is he needs to brag about it more, meaning the president.
Yeah.
He needs to brag about that more. That's only part of the problem. The bigger problem is us. We need to educate ourselves more, and that's the problem. That was the whole point of her letter.
Right.
You can't just sit in front of the TV and watch one news program or read one newspaper or one magazine and consider yourself, educated on the subject. We, in large part in the last 20 years, have been ignorant to the political process, which is why these people were allowed to go in there and tank our economy, like you just said, Hal. I mean, we got to.
And Tracy, Hal Sparks and I are only two people with one little tiny, megaphone for our liberal hostage crisis from time to time.
Seriously.
Did we say it? We didn't. He caved on the public option. We won't.
Everybody get off.
Please get off the ledge. Right.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. If anybody remembers, That's how I ended up on this show in the first place. I called in a couple of years ago to promote a gig, and I was waiting on hold to get on and to actually promote the gig or whatever, and everybody online before me was talking about the health care bill. And they were all wrong. Everything they were saying was wrong, both against and for it. And every liberal was freaking out. It's crap. It's a giveaway. There's nothing in it that's worthwhile. And, and I went... There are so many. The reason the right is freaking out is because this sets precedent for five major points that push us towards a single payer system.
Thank you.
And without it, that is not a possibility. And you can't go straight there from here. It's like it's amazing to me. Everybody wanted this evil Knievel shot from one side of the canyon to the other, and you got to build a bridge so everybody can cross it. And that's what this does.
Tracy, and that's when I fell in love with Hal Sparks again and needed to snuggle with him every week. I'm used to like, oh, you're gonna be at the Chuckle Nut when? And it was suddenly like this brilliant screed about health care. I'm like, you must come in every week.
I'm gonna fight you for it. And I will say, I'm not ashamed to say, I was one of those liberals, and I have become smarter by listening to you, Hal.
Great.
You pulled me away from that ledge because I called in several times having fits, going, oh my God, what is he doing? He's giving it all away.
We do it every week, Tracy. It's the president's never gonna. Don't ask, don't tell. It's not gonna. Okay. Never mind, it's done.
You always wonder why they always go, why don't so many like blue collar construction workers, why do they vote Republican? Why are they against, you know, their own best interests or whatever? It's more like, why aren't they liberal than why are they conservative? But liberals have a tendency that we want to build the house roof first.
Right.
And you know what I mean? We want to I want to attach the weather vane. And everybody else
like,
is
wait
like,
a minute.
Wait a second. We got to get together,
this
chuck the walls
up. This is
what we said. Yeah, we got
to lay civil rights, you know, all kinds of things. I mean,
you got to be foundation oriented. Right. You got to brick by brick, and this is how it works. And you got to be patient enough. Otherwise, you know, that's the idea of building stuff on sand. It's just like to find a patch of grass and build something. It doesn't work. You have to think it through. And this guy is good at thinking stuff through. It just we're not good at following it sometimes.
Well,
Tracy, welcome to my many layers of Hal Sparks love. I first loved Hal when I thought he was just the super hot comic when he was on my old, I don't know, whatever, canceled television show. Anyway, and then I discovered the chewy political nougat in the middle.
Okay. Exactly.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And now I drag him on the road with me and drag him in here every week. All right.
He's such a cutie patootie. All right.
Right? Right? Well, totally. All right. Thanks, Tracy.
Although I do think the administration could do better at explaining.
But here we go. Here we go.
But here's the problem.
It's naysaying.
I hear what you're saying. But the problem is, if they had been better at explaining it, the Republicans would have stripped
it
out.
Exactly.
That was the whole point. You had to literally pretend like you didn't know what was going on and what was in it.
Hello.
And let the Republicans hang themselves.
Because they weren't reading it. They were not paying attention. And if you drew attention to it, they would go, wait a minute, it's in section what? And they would have flipped to that page going, well, tear that crap out.
Right. Which is why we said 3D chess instead of checkers.
Exactly. He's playing Othello.
The president's like, oh, you're right. I caved on the public option. Well, you win. All right.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
What? I'm not doing it wrong.
She was voguing. For those watching the Ustream, you see it. She was. And I almost got annoyed, and then I realized you are from the 90s. It totally makes sense. You are from the past.
Hello.
To warn us.
From the 90s.
That if we allow the margin of victory to get too thin between Bush and Gore, that the Supreme Court will hand the presidency over to him, even though he clearly won the, the Electoral College and the popular vote.
Andrea in Miami, where Hal and I will be Saturday. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, I'm actually really excited. I have tickets to the show in Eden Grove. I can't wait for you guys to be walking on sunshine.
Oh, well, listen, and Hal will be wearing that dog bite suit, so try to, you know,
because
he's been getting really just, you know,
during
Herman
the meet and
Cain
grow,
groped
it's just, yeah,
within
it's,
an inch of his life.
It's terrible. I mean,
I'll try to control myself.
I mean, that's my job, to objectify him and John and treat them like pieces of meat. That's not your place, Andrea.
For a little bit, right? No.
All right.
Oh, now we're being passed around. I'm offended. What is this tail hook?
Like a Herman Cain.
Speaking of the 90s.
See what I did there? Yeah. All right.
It'll only be nine times.
And go ahead.
Yeah.
No, but I wanted to call and kind of say that while I do agree that Democrats kind of, you know, could potentially strengthen their message about all the successes that they have done, I think that this particular administration is being really smart about how they're going about doing it and letting people find out just how bad the Republican candidates are. And they're doing a pretty good job on their own of kind of, you know, you can't hide it. They're being blatant, like, oh, we don't want to do the extension of the tax cuts. Because we don't want to tax the rich, you know. They're being so blatant. They're not
they're
even trying
to hide it anymore. Obvious. Absolutely.
Somebody asked the president, Andrew, how he's going to, you know, get the Latino vote. He's like, just play the Republican debates on a loop on Univision.
Yeah, right.
Tell them, though.
Right.
You don't need to say anything.
He's letting the Republicans be Republicans, and that's what's killing them.
Just let them talk.
Yeah.
Mittens taking a stand, sort of.
No, I'm not participating in that. We have two debates in December that I've agreed to participate in. The rest of the month is going to be spent campaigning, doing the political work you've got to do to get the support of people in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida. So we'll be hitting the trail. I spoke with Donald Trump earlier today. I indicated that we just can't make this debate. We're going to focus on the other two we've got and on some campaigning.
Dude, I would love to be there, you know.
I'd like to take a stand against the clownishness of this entire race and a reality.
Like, suddenly they're all like,
but I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm just going to say my comment.
They're all like Howard Hessman in Spinal Tap going, I'd love to stand here and talk, but I got to go
for the lobby,
wait for the limo.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I think we have at least 10 requests for January debates. We'll probably do, I don't know, two, maybe three in January. So we've already set our calendar in December, and I communicated to Mr. Trump that schedule is completed.
Heck, I can just debate myself. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. Sure you can. No, I can't.
But I could.
I love this. Allies urge Romney to get tough as Gingrich rises. Some Romney backers say their candidate must mix it up more aggressively with Gingrich and reporters.
I'm mixing it.
Wait, I love this. To prove he has the moxie to be the GOP. Here's the problem,
moxie?
I think, is that his supporters use words like moxie.
Yeah, exactly. Do they wear fedoras? They wear fedoras?
It's getting Christmas. I've got moxie. Mm-hmm. You betcha.
All over my new suit.
In spades.
Oh, these peasants. They got moxie all over me.
Oh, dear.
I walked past an occupied camp, and they got moxie on me.
Oh, he has checked this out for moxie. He says he will appear on Fox News now. Huh? That's brave. He'll do his first national Sunday talk show in nearly 2 years December 18th. And he also took some questions from reporters. Wow. Covering his Arizona visit, so he's a little moxied to the max. He also said to Neil Cavuto yesterday, I'll be on Fox a lot because you guys matter when it comes to Republican primary voters. Gee, that's weird. Is that almost an admission that Fox News is an arm of the Republican Party, essentially?
No. I guess. What? That's ridiculous.
How could you interpret it that way?
Who does that? What?
You're dirty ink blots.
My favorite named Republican, Representative Steve LaTourette.
Oh.
Of Ohio said he's backing Romney, partly because he has a hangover from Gingrich's days as House Speaker. Everything always seemed to be on fire. Yeah, so he's too intemperate for a guy named LaTourette.
Wow.
He was...
Really?
Yes. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Listen, you get that
Stephanie Miller
in here. We need more laughs on the show.
It is the speaking of laughs, Fort Lauderdale, sexy liberal on Saturday night. John Fugel saying Hal Sparks and I will be there. There's a couple of tiny floaty single tickets, I believe. Mm-hmm. But get them, because it's going to be the big year-end blowout show. It's going to be spring break at Christmas. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Just gonna, you know what?
Lauderdale! I had my spring break in high school in Fort Lauderdale.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, everything old is new again, by the way. My high school car is back, the Dodge Dart.
It is.
Remember, I had a red Dodge Dart with no shocks?
Yeah.
I just saw my high school friends in Buffalo. That was a running joke. I used to drive to school, and every time we went over a bump, they would all yell, "Get some shocks!" Memories.
The Dodge Dart.
Presumably, they have shocks now, the new darts.
Yeah.
They're making the Dodge Dart again.
They are.
What was your first car, Hal?
It was an...
Doesn't every boy remember?
It depends on the first car I ever drove was my mom's Jeep because she was sick and I had to go to the I had to drive to the store to get food for us because she couldn't drive and that was that and I was 13 so the first car I drove was her Jeep you know her old Jeep Wrangler yellow Jeep Wrangler that would never
Jeep,
not start
I had a Jeep Renegade in college
because you're a gay man from the 90s
exactly
right.
I learned to
if
drive
you look
on
at my
a,
iPod list I am a gay man
totally.
From the 90s
I learned to drive on a Chevy Nova which never sold well in Spanish speaking countries because Nova means doesn't run
doesn't go but an Alfa Romeo Spider was actually my first car
Ooh,
car
nice
my
like
dad,
you need a bigger chicken magnet than just being House
no
Sparks.
But it's exactly the car that Fletch drove that he stole in the movie Fletch and my dad got it from a guy who had converted it from it into a race car, like a stock race car, and he took the gas pedal out and put a plunger on next to the emergency brake that you pull up instead of using the gas pedal, because basically when you start running, you just yank it open and you just drive.
Wow.
And you
How
work
very
the brake.
Flintstones-like.
Oh, it was amazing. And,
well, if that doesn't work, son, just put your feet down.
And then he put the seats back in. It sold it to my dad and all that kind of stuff. But he left the plunger. And he put the gas pedal back in, but the plunger's there. And so I'm driving down the 94 in Chicago, and I'm like, what does this do? Yeah! Literally, I was going 102 miles an hour.
It's the Autobahn.
Yeah. True story. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, wah! Oh, it's amazing.
Is that back when everything was optional in the car? Oh, it doesn't come with wheels or a steering wheel?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's extra. Okay.
Yeah, it's the IKEA car.
Seatbelts are extra.
Yeah, right. IKEA. You have to put it together
assemble
yourself.
It yourself, right?
Yeah, right.
Casey in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Casey.
Greetings, my liberal goddess. How are you doing?
Hello. Go ahead.
I wanted to give you an Occupy update from Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
We went to court last week, and we are allowed to occupy 24 hours a day. The only thing we can't do is have the tents.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I wanted to have you on. I know you're coming in really soon. I'd like to get off when I'm done speaking. I'd like to give your handler my information. We'd like to, if possible, if you can stop by, I'll give you the address and everything.
Oh, yeah, we'll come down. John,
phone number.
John and I have both made it.
The city used the ADA
awesome.
Act against us, the American Disabilities Act, and we were in compliance because we had disabled veterans that are occupying the area 24 hours a day. So basically, we complied, took the tents down. And we will basically put the tents back up in 2 weeks and have code enforcement show
okay.
that we are in compliance with the city hall.
Awesome, honey. I will. I will definitely.
Road, so.
Yeah, I will definitely. I will for sure. I've gone everywhere we've been so far. I think I've been to Occupy Austin,
mm-hmm.
Occupy San Francisco. So yeah, absolutely. And I just love that you called her my handler. She would love that. Rebecca is my surly associate producer who hates me. All right, she would sooner die than handle me. All right, let's continue. Oh, Mitt Romney, it's just don't you love that? There's so much crunchy audio goodness. Here is him calling John Kerry a flip flopper.
His name is John Kerry, and in politics, it's pretty much standard operating procedure that when you're running for office,
uh-huh.
You look at your opponent's record, you find some place where he or she has changed position,
right.
And you say they're a flip-flopper.
Oops.
And that's a pretty standard thing. But
sure.
In this case, this guy really is.
Well.
They pointed out just how many places he had changed positions. And I won't go through that whole list,
no.
But it's just extraordinary. I've tried to think why it is that he has changed so often, why he finds it so difficult to come down on one side
wow.
of an issue, instead sort
yeah.
of floats between
Weird.
Between both issues and both sides of things.
Project much?
Wow. Oh,
that's incredible.
Pot, it's a kettle for you in line two.
Who is advising him? Who in his team would ever, like, just float the idea, you know, you should bring up of all people?
This was 2004.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like he's been unlike that
Yeah. It's maybe he's changed his mind, though. Maybe he doesn't think John Kerry's a flip-flopper anymore.
He probably doesn't. Looking back, I shouldn't have talked about
him. You know, it compared to scares him to some people, some current candidates, perhaps.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, speaking of flip-flops, wow, this goes to the point, Jim, of this Paul Krugman piece about what you have to be to be in the Republican field these days. John Huntsman tweets climate change tone, says scientists need to clarify the facts. John Huntsman, who knows better, of course, is now, he's saying, apparently it's scientists' fault. They're being foggy about their science.
All science-y.
Mm-hmm. He appeared to take a notably more skeptical view towards current climate change science Tuesday, saying the scientific community owes us more on the issue and that not enough solid research exists to formulate policies based on global warming.
No, you're just ignoring it.
Oh, dear.
Look, it's clear in the Al Gore movie. They showed the chart where they measured the output of CO2 from the Industrial Revolution and the rise in global temperatures, and they dovetailed completely.
Right.
I mean, that cannot be an accident.
That seems a little foggy to me. He said...
Charts are confusing.
This is like people who put their back to the sun, stare at their shadow, and say it's nighttime.
Said if there's some
I don't see the sun. Do you see the sun? It's behind you. Yeah, well, to some people.
If there's some interruption or disconnect in terms of what other scientists have to say, then let's let the debate play out with the scientific community. It has.
It has.
And it's
played
fun.
Out. Yeah.
There's probably more debate yet to play out. No.
Computer says no.
Huntsman's spokesman says the governor's position is consistent.
No. Computer says no.
He said the statement today related more specifically to the global nature of the problem, that U.S. policy should not be shaped around the threat of global warming.
Because we're not on the planet.
Until the science is indisputably settled, and, quote, the Chinese are on board. So now we have to wait for the
Chinese aren't on board, we might as well not do anything.
That didn't happen.
Wow.
It's not the scientists, it's up to the Chinese.
We're talking about the same country that has sent us lead-based toys, paint on toys for Thomas the Tank
poison
Engine.
Pet food.
Yeah, and
drywall.
Concrete in preschools with no rebar in it.
Mm-hmm.
In earthquake zones? This is,
All right. The headline is Obama channels Roosevelt, eyes 2012. He said Tuesday the gaping inequality facing the middle class was the defining issue of our time. In a passionate outline of his 2012 strategy, the president...
This is the defining issue of our time. This is a make-or-break moment for the middle class and for all those who are fighting to get into the middle class. Because... what's at stake is whether this will be a country where working people can earn enough to raise a family, build a modest savings, own a home, secure their retirement.
Well, frankly, if we just got rid of child labor laws, everything would be fine, frankly.
Yeah,
you know, go work in factories, lose limbs.
Which are frankly stupid.
Are there no workhouses? Are there no orphanages, frankly?
Yeah. What are we supposed to do with our poor if we can't put them, if we can't feed them gruel and make them?
We should eat the poor, frankly.
Yeah.
It's actually smart, I think, how politically they're saying the president's remark appeared to attempt to channel the anti-corporate fervor of Occupy Wall Street and the conservative Tea Party faction in different ways. But he said this is a make-or-break moment for the middle class. All of those who are fighting to get into the middle class at stake. This is whether this will be a country where working people can earn enough to raise a family, build a savings, as he said, own a home, secure their retirement. He advocated a new national commitment to education, a drive to innovate to compete with U.S. competitors, but argued the rich would have to pay higher taxes to allow the nation as a whole to prosper, which is exactly what Roosevelt said.
Mm-hmm.
The president.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
Now, in the midst of this debate, there are some who seem to be suffering from a kind of collective amnesia. After all that's happened, after the worst economic crisis, the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression, they want to return to the same practices that got us into this mess. In fact, they want to go back to the same policies that stacked the deck against middle-class Americans for way too many years. And their philosophy is simple. We are better off when everybody's left to fend for themselves and play by their own rules.
What's your point, frankly?
Yeah,
White House aides say that Obama's aim is seeking to constrain excesses on Wall Street and level the playing field, similar to those advanced by Roosevelt, who wanted to use the power of government to regulate unfettered capitalism. Mm-hmm. Jay Carney said, what's astounding about it is when you read it is how much of it could be delivered today.
For this, Roosevelt was called a radical. He was called a socialist.
Yes. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but this is exactly our point about how far the Republican Party has gone to the right. You know, I mean, this is...
Well, I mean, the problem is when you try to argue with them about these things, that, you know, the decimation of the middle class, they're for it. And the, right. and the only we act like, don't you guys realize what you're doing? And
yes,
they do. That's exactly the point.
Plan.
That's the plan. It has been since Reagan. The middle class is the bridge from where people of low income status who are born in this country without all the means of the silver spoon that Romney has can make their way through. If you eliminate those rungs, you eliminate the competition for your Paris Hilton kids, and you can just hand them money, they run industry, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
If they have to compete with people who bootstrap their way up, it's a problem for them. So they're gutting the middle class to stop that level of competition.
Yeah.
It's because they're royalty in their mind. They deserve what they got just by being born into it a long time ago. And
the president boiled it down.
I believe that this country succeeds when everyone gets a fair shot.
Yeah.
When everyone does their fair share.
Rising tide, all boats.
Oh,
okay.
We hate that, frankly. We hate fair share, fair shot, frankly.
Exactly. 45.
They want slave labor.
You know what? They are. They're speaking of the boats. They are the rich people on the Titanic. That's what. let's trick all the poor people to go into the other side of the boat.
Right, and I'll be in the thing, and then when people are trying to get in, who are supposed to be in this one, I'll start kicking at their hands. That's the Paul Ryan system. Which, by the way, Politico gave him an award for being the most important person in the healthcare debate this year.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? The budget monster got an award.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't! You can't make me!
Sounds right. Just like Paul Ryan.
Yeah, go to a committee and read the actual bills that you're presenting. No!
45 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
So then why do we have cameras in here?
Jim, you scamp. 15 minutes after the hour, we have the cameras. We're lousy with cameras at StephanieMiller.com and HalSparks.com.
Absolutely.
On the Ustream.
And on the HalSparks iPhone app, which you can watch the show.
Wow. He's a man.
And join the chat.
And an app.
Yes, I am.
And a dessert topping.
It's true, if you know what I mean.
He's yummy.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm getting a little frisky because, we're going to be on the beach together.
Are we?
Yes, in Miami this weekend.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's hard to think in terms of beach right now. Even in L.A., it's like...
My God, it's freezing, right? Yeah. I had to put a sweater on. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Wow, Newt Gingrich admitted that he said of his campaign, we certainly fly by the seat of the pants. And those are big pants. Those are big boy pants. As Kathleen Madigan said yesterday, that fatty's going right to the top.
But that's exactly my point, though. That's the irony of the whole Ron Paul campaign, is that he's actually got grassroots. He's got the actual work being done on, to build a real campaign, whether I agree with it or not, which
right.
I don't. But the point is, Gingrich is, it's like 9 phone calls to the state, and he's polling at 37%. And I think that's because there are so many fewer Republicans or people who admit that they're Republicans or involved in the Republican process that it's narrowed so easily that you can just kind of turn, it's easier to convince 5 out of 15 than it is to convince 500 out of 1,500.
Right.
Yeah.
Or,
Newt Gingrich is the front runner. That's all you need to say. About the state of the Republican
today. Ridiculous.
President Obama again.
But for most Americans, the basic bargain that made this country great has eroded. Long before the recession hit, hard work stopped paying off for too many people.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was he's clicking into campaign mode, and yesterday talking about the banks as well.
As infuriating as it was for all of us.
Right. Yeah, infuriating?
That's a new word.
We rescued our major banks from collapse. Part of the deal was that we wouldn't go back to business as usual.
Yeah, and
that didn't work out so well.
And then they broke that deal.
But then crystallizing exactly what this whole...
Some billionaires have a tax rate as low as 1%. 1%. That is the height of unfairness.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear this? The Republicans on a private RNC conference call were check this out. They warned that they should refrain from personal attacks against President Obama. Now? Now a warning?
Warning.
That's right. A little late, isn't it?
Now a warning?
But, you know.
Chinian, commie, socialist. What?
Yeah.
They're not supposed to.
Oh, can we just take all that back now?
But we got nothing.
You know where that comes from is their perception that minorities and youth voters only start paying attention about a year before the actual election. And when they start hearing it, they're not going to want to.
Right. And voters still give President Obama high, you know.
Personal.
Really like him personally. And, you know, again, how one of the big, like, tipping points is, I think, is things like this editorial in the LA Times, where a woman who was an Obama naysayer said, I apologize. I was wrong. This health care law has personally helped me, and now I get it. And I listened to the, you know, the naysayers and the talking points, and I didn't know what was actually in it. You know, so I think more of that is going to happen as you say, they start to focus. But I love Ari Fleischer, former Bush press secretary, was on the call. Yes. He encouraged Republicans to turn around Democratic attacks on Romney and Gingrich for being flip-floppers. He said, when it comes to flip-flopping, Barack Obama is the king of flip-flopping. You can offer that to anybody.
What?
Is that basically the I know you are, but what am
well,
I?
Well, some of the reasons are just pathetic that he gives. It's just complete nonsense.
I don't know. Seriously?
Well, there's a whole list of them in that article. I was looking at it earlier. His failure to, you know, he said that we would have so many jobs and he didn't do it. That's not a flip-flop. That's reality.
Yeah.
For one thing, we have this horrible Republican majority in the House now, which is preventing anything good from happening.
It sounded seriously like a Pee Wee Herman strategy. Just,
I know you are. What are we?
I'm trying to use the phone!
Yeah, he was on a conference call. That's what Ari Fleischer said.
Ari Fleischer was the mouthpiece for the Bush administration during the biggest window of their worst crimes, their worst policy choices.
Unnecessary wars.
Exactly. Like,
destruction of the
he was the guy they could trust to paint a rosy picture of the worst policy decisions in this country's history in the last 100 years.
And he was the guy who said, watch what you say.
Right.
People should watch what they say.
Yeah.
By the way, Mitch McLipless trying to turn this around on the. It's look what you're doing with the payroll tax.
So Democrats can have another week of fun and games on the Senate floor while tens of millions of working Americans go another week wondering whether they're going to see a smaller paycheck.
Because of you, moron. What do you mean?
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
I can't even. He's starting to sound like our impersonation of him.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
This happens on this show. It's like, you're like, is
like,
Jim doing
like
them?
Jedi
or are they doing Jim
right.
doing them?
Right.
I don't know.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These are the turtles you're looking for.
Right.
All right. And meanwhile, we were talking earlier with Representative Barbara Lee about, I hate you, Hal. You and I both hate this. Like, the parties are both the same. It's all the same.
Oh,
it doesn't matter who you vote for. It on every issue, it couldn't matter much more, and they couldn't be more divergent.
Right. We have to thank the Republican majority in the House for that, and for people to finally see how incredibly awful these people are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, we're just picking one issue. You look at gay rights, and this was stunning yesterday. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. First of all, Republican field. I don't think we've had a more homophobic bunch as a whole.
Especially Santorum.
Oh my God.
And Rick Perry.
Google
it. Yeah. Rick Perry's response was
Hillary Clinton.
We need to ask ourselves: how would it feel if it were a crime to love the person I love? How would it feel to be discriminated against for something about myself that I cannot change?
This is President Obama has announced the expansion of his foreign policy goals to include the promotion of equal legal and social status for gays and lesbians worldwide, which is a huge deal.
Our commitments to protect the freedom of religion and to defend the dignity of LGBT people emanate from a common source. And caring for others is an expression of what it means to be fully human.
U.S. government officials are now directed to lobby foreign governments and voters to win legal rights for gays and homosexuals, welcome their applications for asylum, fund foreign gay advocacy groups, and even retaliate against groups that mistreat gays and lesbians. It really was the memo said the struggle to end discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons is a global challenge and one that is central to the United States' commitment to promoting human rights.
I wonder if it's going to occur to the Republicans at some point that gay people vote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and meanwhile, have you seen this video with Michelle Bachmann and the 8-year-old?
Oh, yeah.
It tells you everything you need to know with the gay mommy.
Gay and she's not broken. Freeze.
Why don't you like?
Goodbye.
Why can't your husband is gay? What did I say?
58 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Sexyliberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Very exciting for the big year-end show in Fort Lauderdale on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
There might be a couple of single seats. Go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Sexyliberal.com on how to get tickets. Linda in Miami says, Steph, I'm 66. I'm bringing my 43-year-old daughter to see you on Saturday in Fort Lauderdale. She's never heard or seen your show. How can I best prepare her for Saturday? Well, you can't, but good luck. I'm trying to say it's not appropriate for anyone.
Yeah, a birds and the bees conversation would be a good way to start, I think.
Full frontal nudity, live sex. Anyway, good luck. Mm-hmm. I've tried to warn people, and yet it's selling out everywhere. We don't know why.
The other thing, too, is because the right wing has been trying to shut us down on so many fronts, my advice would be, even when we're sold out, still try to buy tickets. Because it seems to be that...
Well, somebody just... Roland, our tour director, just helped someone yesterday. I think it was the Boston show. They can do something online that makes it look like it's sold out. And, but you can only get tickets here, and they're $500 or whatever.
Right.
And so we've had to steer... Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com, or write to Ticketmaster. Don't go to these scalping sites. All right. This one, Adrian, is Steph. This is a sexy liberal letter. Sorry. Steph and the Mooks. First, rarely get to listen to your terrific show since there's no progressive radio in Philadelphia. Really? And yet, the Sexy Liberal show is selling like crazy. It's weird. There's no market for that,
I
guess.
That's funny.
I discovered you on XM 127 a few years ago. I got a message in my inbox, Sexy Liberal, coming to Philadelphia. Yes, February 4th. You would have thought I just received an email that Bradley Cooper was inviting me to become his next girlfriend. That's how excited I was.
Wow.
Thank you for bringing your two to Philadelphia. I hope the success of your show here will enable some local radio station to start broadcasting your show.
Yeah,
Wouldn't that be something? Uh-huh. Wouldn't that be? Yeah, apparently that's why there's no market for that sort of thing, except for the fact that we're the number one selling comedy tour in the country this year. FYI.
That's the sound of me not holding my breath.
Okay. All right. Yes, Fort Lauderdale Saturday. Portland, our first show up in January. Philadelphia is February 4th. And Phoenix in February. Chicago, the big hometown Hal Sparks show.
Working on a 01 gig for the night before.
The official metal band of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
01.
Mm-hmm.
Hal Sparks sexy band. Madison in April. Minneapolis in May. Boston in June. Seattle in September. It's crazy. And then the big announcement just this morning. Yeah.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs, one tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Wee-hee! Thank you, Shano. Thank you, Danielle. Oh, Rick, right. Staff, for the Fort Lauderdale show, did you offer Governor Christie 2 or 3 seats so he can come see you?
Oh, come on
now, Rick.
Come on.
See what he's saying is...
Dave,
a large guy.
Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steph. I just thought I'd call and let you know that I'm going to be seeing you for a second time in May.
Yeah.
I went to the first Sexy Liberal show. I took a conservative friend of mine who now listens to your show on a regular basis. So just one heart and mind at a time.
One at a time. Resistance is futile.
One joke at a time. Yes.
I'm going to have something for you when you get there.
Really?
Well, that's always true.
What's that?
We have a state university in northern Minnesota called Bemidji State. They're known as the Beavers, and I have a beaver hockey hat for you. And there's also a bar and grill in the town called the Toasty Beaver. I'm going to try to get you a Toasty Beaver t-shirt.
Thank you very much. I am delighted, Dave, in advance. Thank you so much. Oh, I get the most premature and delightful
gifts. Do they serve
Toasty
Beaver there?
And it's hard to find Toasty Beaver in the middle of the winter.
Absolutely.
In Minneapolis. Trust me on that.
Well, if you don't wear underwear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes, no. Oh, squeezy. All right. Here's one thing I'm worried about. You know, I'm flying American, I think, to Miami. And Alec Baldwin just got booted for playing Words with Friends. And my girlfriend Lisa's addicted to that game. So I might be in Gitmo. You guys might be in Fort Lauderdale.
Aren't they going bankrupt anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. So, maybe they were nice.
Yes. The story goes, you know when the flight attendants tell you to turn off all electronic devices? They're not kidding. Alec Baldwin was forcibly removed. What rude, thoughtless little pigs they are in America. Leaving L.A. for New York on Tuesday when he was apparently too engrossed in Words with Friends. I'm telling you, it really is an addiction. There's going to be a 12-step. The incident caused a one-hour delay in the flight and kicked off a flurry of Internet chatter. Last flight with American, he tweeted, where retired Catholic school gym teachers from the 1950s find jobs as flight attendants.
Oh, wow. All right.
Asked by a follower to explain the game's appeal, Baldwin tweeted, it's, well, addicting.
Yeah.
Which it is. You were saying that's the one gadget thing you're not doing?
Nah. I leave it. It's like somebody who's bad with house plants. You know what I mean? I just don't water it enough. I don't care.
You wouldn't make a move for like a month.
No.
People would be like, how?
I give up. This is crap.
Well, it resigns you after 2 weeks.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have to turn on push notifications, otherwise you'll never play, because it has to tell you when the last person updated, and I refuse push notifications on everything. I've got enough text messages and phone messages coming in to have my apps yelling at me, too. Like, get back to me, dude. I'm like, leave me alone.
Oh, I have an iPhone app thing that you need to explain what it is to me.
What?
My new iPhone has an app, you know, notification. I don't know what that means. There's a new app that I have to do something with. I don't know. I have to wait till Wednesdays when Hal comes in.
You need a new app to figure out the app.
He's my Apple support.
I think you probably just need to update some of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your iOS.
Yeah, it's probably just that.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to Stephanie Miller Tech Support.
Right.
All right. We were talking about...
Thank you very much. My name is Steve, and I live in Toledo, Ohio.
I'm calling you from Bangalore, Maine.
Yeah, right.
Where's the any key? I can't find it.
No. Not any key. Just any key. There is no key with the words any on it.
Is it near delete?
No. It could be any key.
I found M and L O.
That's a little skit of me on the phone. That was support. Because I still don't get it.
What is wrong with you, lady? I'm trying to tell you.
I am losing my patience, and that's not legal here. You get in big trouble.
All right, where's his music? Where's my tech support music? For God's sake, there it is.
Calm down.
I'm trying to stay calm by talking to the crazy lady. Oh,
no, you idiot.
You are throwing my chakras out of alignment.
It couldn't be simpler.
My God, you are dumb.
Oh, my God, at the end of this, if I find out that the printer's not even plugged in, I'm going to fly myself kill you.
That's happened. Actually, the computer itself, the cord came out a little bit. I called. The cord was out of the back of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whee! I am an idiot.
You are an idiot.
Thank you. All right. Before the break, we were talking about we hate people going, oh, it's all the same, both parties are all the same. And we picked, just because it happens to be a very apropos, Hillary Clinton's speech on a gay right being a human right, being a gay right, etc., which is that is huge. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton challenged nations around the world to recognize that gay rights are human rights and human rights are gay rights, building on an order by President Obama directing all U.S. agencies to promote and protect the rights of gay people. By the way...
including Marcus Bachmann.
Yeah, Iran and Saudi Arabia still executes homosexuals, and many other Muslim countries sharply punish and stigmatize homosexuality. So it is a huge problem in a lot of places.
Yeah, where's that whole big outcry against Sharia law?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Since that's one of the things that it includes.
Anyway, if you play compare and contrast, did you see this video of Michelle Bachmann and the 8-year-old? I mean, literally, she jumps back as if it's a disease, gay. I mean, she So she, and you could see how nice she was being to the little girl before she knew what she wanted to say.
Wow.
She's like, what you want to say, honey? I'm a foster mom. Come here. What you want? And then literally she physically jumps up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She,
That's
yes.
creepy.
Yeah. She was at a book signing event for a book. 8-year-old Elijah and his mom came up. The video shows Bachman leaning in to listen closely as the youngster whispers, my mommy's gay, but she doesn't need fixing. Boltman bolts back up and manages a bye-bye.
Gotta go. Gotta run.
As the mother and son walk away. I mean, wow, that was smooth. Nicely done. You can't think of anything else to say to an 8-year-old, you know? I mean, it was...
Except run away.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Oh, God, why couldn't that kid have just gotten out of
there? That kid needs to be disciplined.
Yeah. Your husband seems a little gay to me. What, Mommy? I wasn't supposed to say that part. Every time you admit your husband's gay, an angel gets its wings. Come on, do it.
If anybody knows it's not contagious, it should be her.
Michelle Bachman, yes. If anyone knows it doesn't rub off.
Yeah.
From square dancing or whatever. I think that's the only time they touch. When they're square dancing for the cameras. What's up with these homophobic Republican... I missed this one. Troy, Michigan Mayor Janice Daniels. Please and thank you. She, back in June, I guess not many people must read her Facebook page. I guess this just surfaced. Back in June, after the New York State Legislature passed gay marriage, she took to her Facebook page and made an announcement. I think I'm going to throw away my I Love New York carrying bag now that queers can get married there. Yikes. Queers. Wow.
What does she do for a living? Allegedly?
She's the mayor of Troy, Michigan.
They still have a mayor?
You know what? Most people on the side of the angels, however. Parents outraged over teacher removing the word gay from Deck the Halls. This is what it's come to.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, a music teacher at Cherry Knoll Elementary School in Traverse City, Michigan again. Decided to change the word gay to bright and deck the halls for the children's Christmas concert. Her reasoning, first and second graders wouldn't stop giggling when they sang the word gay. Several parents were so upset about the change, they went to the school's Facebook page to express their opinions. One parent said, by taking the word gay out of deck the halls, you're making it a big deal. One word can have different meanings.
So here's the thing. This is how the word fart got taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And I think it's just a slippery slope.
There you go. Principal Chris Parker is on the parent side saying this would have been a great opportunity to teach that gay has more than one meaning and is not a bad word. In a response to the controversy over the word change, the original lyrics have now been magically restored. The gay is back in Deck the Halls. Everything's safe for America. Okay.
Upon we now are Bachman Apparel.
Michelle Bachman's husband apparel. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stefana Mina.
Arriba! It is the Stefana Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
You call the Stefano Miller Show?
Cesar Rosas or David Hidalgo?
Si. All right, Jim, who said New York hasn't ended up a dream world for the poor? It has become a place where Donald Trump manipulates the game. Who said that?
Mayor LaGuardia.
No, Newt Gingrich in 1989. That might make for an awkward debate between the two of them.
You said some bad stuff about me years ago. You're done. You're fired. Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
By the way, your ass is
huge.
All right, Ken, my right-wing love muffin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ken.
Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Yesterday when Obama gave a speech, he was dishonest about capitalism. He said that it never worked. Well, that's just not true.
He didn't say capitalism never worked.
Say capitalism
In the 1920s, they called it the Roaring Twenties, and they called it that for a reason. That's what most unemployment rate was 2%.
And that's what caused the Great Depression.
Right.
Was, you know, everyone putting everything in the stock market, and when it crashed...
Go ahead.
The stock market crashed because of all the crony capitalism in the 20s and the rampant speculation. These
are the facts. At the beginning of the Great Depression, the Roosevelt administration, unemployment was 20%. At the end of his second term, unemployment was 20%.
Well, that was because he listened to the deficit hawks. And
it didn't work. Anything he did didn't work.
Can't you start with a false premise? The president didn't say capitalism doesn't work. He didn't say that at all yesterday.
He said trickle-down economics doesn't work.
John Kennedy
looks, trickle-down economics didn't exist during John Kennedy's reign.
This is not the same. This is from Eisenhower's tax rates that were implemented after World War II because the United States...
President Obama was directly talking about Ronald Reagan's and thereby Newt Gingrich's actual economic policy, which led inexorably...
A high tide raises all boats.
Ken, why were we losing...
Except the ones that capsizes and the people who drown because they're not in a boat
Ken,
at all.
Why,
right.
in
and
your opinion...
they didn't have John Kennedy to save them.
Right. Why were we losing 700,000 jobs a month when George Bush was in office?
Well, because the Democratic Party gave everybody houses who shouldn't have had them.
Even though the Bush administration was in power.
That's right. Their policies and their policies of not allowing this country to develop its own energy caused this recession.
What are you talking about? We're drilling like crazy right now.
Yeah.
We're drilling everywhere. Yes, we are. In the Gulf and in the...
Wait a minute. Hold on one second. We don't have nationalized oil or any even nationalized natural gas. All of it. Gets sold on the open market.
Yes.
All of it. We don't get a competitive price on it because. Are you listening? Are you actually going to wrap your head around an answer to the ideas or ridiculousness?
The Democrats want to pander to special interest groups.
What special interest are you talking about?
What special interest groups?
Okay.
What special interest groups? Name one.
Which special interest groups?
All these wacko environmentalists.
Wacko environmentalist groups.
Burning up. Because they've been sold a line of goods, and they bought it.
Okay, so at what point is American oil or American natural gas American? The correct answer is at no point.
Let me tell you something.
Okay, well.
You sell apples on the open market throughout the world, okay? If you add more apples to that market, the price of apples goes cheaper. Now, if we grow more apples in the United States, it makes the apples cheaper.
Guess what? You can grow more apples. You can't get any more oil. You have to move towards a non-petroleum-based economy
eventually. Herman Cain would say, that's apples and oranges.
Well, that's fine until it's ready, but you want to live in your panties.
It's got it. There's no if it gets ready. It's prepare because the end of oil is coming, and the responsible thing to do is act like an adult. But you don't have any interest in that because you don't actually believe that climate change is responsible. Human beings are responsible.
No. We can't afford to live in your fantasy world.
What fantasy world are you talking about? Your real living? Where you won't even be able to truck food out to the sticks where you live because there won't be any oil to do it anymore because you refuse to move into the present, not even the future?
He's like the scary people in Avatar, and I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Liberal communist socialist.
Liberal Avatar people.
The scary people
in
Avatar were well-designed.
Listen, when we went into the operation... Iraqi liberation spells oil, by the way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to get more oil. It was to stop the production of oil because the price of a barrel of oil was tanking. It was about $15 a barrel.
Right.
Once we suppressed the supply of oil, it went up to $100 a barrel.
Right. And the other reason, of course, was to make what oil is traded in American dollars, which was another big factor. The point is, do you notice how each time you set up a premise or a concept...
And by the way, it was a coincidence that Bush and Cheney, both oil guys, and somehow the oil industry did really, really well.
Yeah. That's weird. But you notice he would jump ship from concept to concept the minute you would start answering.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You commie socialists.
They all have that exact same tone of voice.
Black guys.
Yeah.
Kyle in New York. Hey, Kyle.
Hey there. Yeah, this guy here, basically, he's just using Republican talking points. I mean, he might have just called himself Frank Luntz, you know what I mean?
Right.
His dumb younger brother.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know, the point is, what you guys were doing comedically is, the point is, every single thing he said is like a talking point off of one of these right-wing talk shows.
Right.
And it's designed to obfuscate the fact that we're supposed to be talking about next year's Republicans, Gingrich and his relationship to Reagan, and the fact that over the last 35 years, they've essentially dismantled the regulations that are controlling business. And you know what it is? We need to regulate American business.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. All right. And so, wow, some other people have some thoughts on Ken.
Go figure.
And more right-wing world as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
He only said 35 different things.
The woman who puts a pee in pout.
Stephanie Miller.
Once this beauty's lips take their downward turn, even the most ruthless men are reduced to whimpering puppy dogs.
Mm-hmm. It's Tom Brokaw's favorite band, The Call.
34 minutes after the hour. Oh, in honor of the administration standing up for gay rights around the world, Jim, Tommy in Columbus has sent you a Tom Brokaw story. Huh? Yeah, go ahead.
Let's just end. I'm Tom Brokaw, former of NBC United News, an openly homosexual socialist called Illoyo, who is fluent in the French language, has been elected as Belgium's leader. Illoyo celebrated his climb to power by going to a lavish lunch where the tables were loaded with succulent Belgian waffles. Illoyo loaded his waffle with blueberries, sliced golden delicious apples, a maple syrup, and a dollop of butter. The luncheon was in a castle outside of the metropolis of Belgium's capital, which is called Brussels. After lunch, Elio took a limo to Luxembourg for a lusty liaison with his lover, Larry, or as in French it's known, Laurence.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
I'm amazed you didn't choke to death saying succulent.
Succulent.
Huh. Some people think Ken, our right-wing caller, might have been wrong about a couple of things. Doug in California. Hi, Doug.
What happens when these people get on the line, they unpile five lies in about two sentences.
That's
and
right.
Unfortunately, what that means is that we make concessions on facts that aren't true. Like, for example, Jim made the concession that, oh, it was 20% unemployment at the start of his term and 20% employment after two terms. No, in reality, it was 25% unemployment when Roosevelt started his term.
Right.
And at the end of his second term, it was 14%.
Right.
But unfortunately, if you unpack all their lies, you don't get any conversation going.
Well, that's why they're all instructed to talk like this.
They also do that lead in where, look, I know you're going to hang up on me. I know you're going to shut me down. You're not going to let me say my piece, but blah, blah, blah. And that's their way of.
You want to live in fantasy world instead, liberal.
Inoculating themselves against you actually hanging up on them when they say something racist, stupid, violent, ridiculous.
Hack in Missouri. Hello, Hack.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
Being the official Truck Driving Serious Radio stepchild of Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
And to prove it.
Yay!
Nice.
Whee! I want a pony now.
Most of what I haul, I'm sad to say, I feel kind of guilty about it, is sand for the oil field. Millions and millions of pounds of sand for the oil field.
Yeah.
Now, if we're not drilling anymore, as Ken supposes, why am I busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I
love that expression. Go ahead.
No, that production levels have been arcing up for years, even though demand is going down. That's the thing. That they're being sold mostly overseas because. Like any first world country, we in Japan and Northern Europe have slowly but surely been bringing ourselves, like curtailing our use of oil, which is a smart move.
Yeah.
But we're producing a lot of it. What's left here is being sold because we don't own it. It's not I love this whole thing, American oil and why can't we need to drill, baby drill in our own.
I know. He didn't get to the, we need oil in the Arctic. No, we don't.
So that
it
can be burned in Chinese and Indian engines. What difference does it make? Like, at what point is that more American than just sitting on it until it's, in case of emergency, break glass? Here's the thing. What if you have a war? And you are using the technology that is not caught up to solar or other sorts of battery power or whatever, and you need to fuel your trucks through and your boats through diesel and through, all these and you have to buy it from Saudi Arabia and those areas, and that's where you're exactly where you're fighting. That's the dumbest position to be in. If you do have oil reserves, you should sit on them. You should just sell them.
Carl in Washington State. Hey, Carl.
Good morning, all. I was just listening to this guy, and I was just thinking to myself, hallelujah, another guy that I can agree with completely. And I was wondering when you were going to suggest that we all just go right straight back to the tax rates that we had under Kennedy, since he was such a big fan.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. You can't. Wait.
That's just what I was arguing for. Wait a second.
Damn it. Got me.
Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. So black environmentalists working for the Democratic Party were giving away free houses?
Yes. That's you pretty much summed it up in a nutshell.
Right. So what's your point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to wrap your brain around that one.
Black environmental.
Wrap your what?
Your brain. Yeah, exactly. Not that guy, because as Jim often says, some of our own callers sound like someone left a sponge in there.
Left a sponge in,
if
sponge
a starving cannibal cracked open your head, there would be barely enough inside to cover a small water biscuit.
Carolyn in Florida. Hey, Caroline.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
I'm just looking so much forward to seeing you all in the Fort Lauderdale show this weekend.
Oh, us too. Partay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got the meet and grow up tickets, front row center.
Uh-oh.
I'd like to be the official slut of the Stephanie Miller show.
Official slut?
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Good news for all of us.
Yes. I'm the one who kissed Alan Grayson for you on Progressive Cruise and David Letterman.
Oh, yeah, right.
You slid a little tongue. Okay, all right. It's my girl. All right. Thank you, Caroline. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
All right.
Is she coming to the next LA show?
Squeezy. Betsy in Maine.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'd like to become the official aging hippie organic farmer of Stephanie Miller.
We needed one of those.
Yeah.
And I have to correct one of the MOOCs, and I'm sorry I didn't catch which one it was. But, honey, when petroleum goes away, you're not going to be trucking food to us. We're not going to be able to truck our food to you living in the cities. Come on. The farmers are the ones that feed us all.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for the fact that once we shift away from petroleum, what's happening in Detroit and a lot of these other major cities is that they are using high-rise structures as basically farming facilities for the cities themselves to avoid all the trucking. And that will become more common as mega cities start to grow. It already is.
That's pretty energy intensive, too. But also in
it takes
Buffalo,
1,800 calories of petroleum expenditure for every calorie of food that enters your mouth. It's
not
absurd.
My mouth, honey. I eat right off my farm.
Yes, right. You do, you hippie farmer.
But
Betsy, what are you going to say about in Buffalo?
The fertilizer and all those kind of things that you use.
I just had a friend that moved back to Buffalo who is, because there are so many foreclosed houses, they're selling them off at like $500 a house. And so she's going to buy up a bunch of those, knock them down, and create some in-city farming area in the city. So, I mean, there's lots of great urban farming things that are going on.
I could be the Meryl Streep of my hometown of Lockport, New York. I could buy Lockport.
I
had a farm in Lockport once.
There you go.
The issue, too, is shipping out. In a first world country, it won't be a problem for us for a very long time. It's something we'll have to address, and the transition will be uncomfortable but possible. The problem becomes when you're trying to get food to places like sub-Saharan Africa and stuff, where we're trying to get aid to people, it becomes nearly impossible. And you're talking about half a billion dying within a couple of years.
Is your point we should have taken Sam Kinison's advice?
Yeah, go where the food is.
Move to where the food is.
Essentially.
Sand! It's nothing but sand!
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what this is? It's sand. You know what it's going to be in 100 years, in 1,000 years? It's going to be sand!
Right.
Go where the food is!
Right.
I'll make one trip! I got a truck! Okay.
But in all honesty, that's one of the issues that they're not preparing for. And here's one of the other big things about climate change is they don't want to blame humans for it. Some of them will go, well, we think it's happening, but it's, it's God's plan, or it's just happening naturally. Well, here's the thing. If you believe that, then go down to Florida and tell people to start moving. Tell them it's not their fault, but tell them to get the hell out of there because you're going to be underwater.
Yeah.
And
Jim,
that's the idea. We're going down there this weekend.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to be running around like a crazy person.
Who said I've been watching some of these Republican debates and they're just terrible, terrible? It's embarrassing for me as a Republican to watch this stuff. Who's that?
Donald Trump.
Hugely embarrassing. Nancy Reagan.
Republican John Danforth, 20-year senator from Missouri, also George Bush's ambassador to the UN. Jim, who said, what have been the big applause lines in these debates? A statement that the governor of Texas is responsible for killing 234 people on death row, or that we favor torture, or that we're creating a fence on the Mexican border that electrocutes people when they try to cross it, or when people show up in emergency hospitals and they're not sure we don't treat them? And I mean, those are the big applause lines. People just hoop and holler when they hear all that. Who said that?
Dick Cheney.
No, that was really bad.
If you don't like it, you can go.
office representative John Danforth, Republican, same Republican, back in the days when Republicans... Who said it doesn't have anything to do with the Republican Party I was a part of? This is just totally different. And all these people who are saying this, you know, claiming they're for all this stuff, also sort of ostentatiously saying, oh, we're very religious people, we're really very pious Christian people, they're for torture and electrocution of people along the border and all of that. That doesn't have anything to do with this, contrary to the Christianity I understand. Who said that?
William Buckley, Jr.
No.
Okay.
John Fugelsang, our comedy genius, would have been a good guest, but no, it was John Danforth, the former Republican senator.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm officially, though, done with the arguing back and forth. Don't they understand the teachings of Christ? They supposedly say that they're Christian, and they don't behave in such a way. Like, I don't know how many more times that conversation can exist before we just go, oh, they're just selling that. They don't actually ever believe it. Yeah. They don't ever have any interest in believing it. There's no way that Rick Santorum
is a
Christian at all.
He has been vomiting continuously. Jesus has taken Epicac in heaven ever since this drift of the Republican Party.
I think we could probably get use of our entire petroleum need in the world if we would somehow hook up electrodes to Jesus' spinning corpse.
Because
in his grave,
now,
he would be spinning if he was still
there. Like Marshall McLuhan in the Woody Allen movie. You know nothing about my work at all.
Right.
I think Jesus at this point is that vomiting character on South Park. He's just, blah!
Every time Rick Santorum speaks, splat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour.
Rick Santorum loves Jesus, just hates everything he stands for.
It's 45 minutes after the hour. Right, the world, in the closing segment of Hump Days with Hal, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I'm freaking for my little baby, 'cause she makes me feel good.
She's so fine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. The return to L.A. just announced this morning. Yahoo!
Very
hurry,
exciting.
Get them. Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com. It is, when is it, July 28th?
Yep.
At the Pantages.
The Pantages. I saw the Lion King there.
This is, yeah, they can't beat our lighting, though.
Yeah.
Hal did with his baby, he did a scene from The Lion King at the last L.A. Sexy Liberal.
I just poked him out so he could see.
Oh.
He held him up like the baby, the cub.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the by, what was I going to say? You were talking about Santorum at this...
yeah.
Where is it? Sioux City. He was at a Christian college.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about them talking about what Jesus would think.
Oh, I mean, essentially, there's nothing about what Rick Santorum actually thinks that is Christ-like at all. And I just think that, like, at a certain point, we have to give up. He's basically a homophobe who's found a structure that he can sell his fear through.
Yeah.
You know
I think
I mean?
It may be just he and Gingrich and Trump at the debate, a little island of misfit right-wing toys.
If homophobia is a genuine phobia, and if it's a disease like alcoholism or whatever, it's like he's found a way of working at a brewery as a taster, going, I'm not an alcoholic. This is my job. And he's using Christianity as just like this.
I think there is reparative therapy for homophobes. I've seen it work. Now, yeah.
I don't know. Because I think it just requires an injection of humanity. And I don't think he has any interest.
In a discussion about same-sex marriage at this Christian college, after a student compared the senator's position against marriage equality to prohibitions against interracial marriage, the student, 23-year-old Jason Cornelius, demanded to know how same-sex marriage would be a hit to faith and family in America. Santorum said if same-sex marriage is legalized, their sexual activity, quote unquote, would be seen as equal to heterosexual.
Oh,
God forbid.
He also said that gays destabilize the family when they have children through technology.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's using, in a lot of what he's doing, every hypothetical he presents, he starts with the Fox Some Say
Yes.
Business?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So his quote was, some say, well, through technology, same-sex couples can have children. Well, they can through either adoption or artificial insemination, but they don't get the mother and father, and that destabilizes the family.
Okay. Oh, by the way, you missed it yesterday, Hal. I got my very first hate letter from an email blast that we did for Sexy Liberal. So this guy, presumably, is on my...
on the list.
Yeah, he signed up for...
to know when Sexy Liberal shows are coming. And then he wrote me back and said, what's sexy about homosexuality? Isn't it a given that you don't like sex? And I thought, and I said, no, Al, it means that I don't like sex with you, with my hot girlfriend. I'm a great deal.
Might I point out that many straight men love homosexual sex among women?
Yes. Yes. All right.
Again, I am not one of those, for the record.
Okay.
Because I have too many lesbian couples as friends, I cannot harbor the illusion that they are waiting for me.
Yeah, but we are, for you, specifically.
This idea that I burst in on them while they're having sex and they go, oh, thank God, a real one. Forget it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No way.
I make an exception for you.
I appreciate the thought, but...
I'm just pointing out a reality.
Yeah.
Not normally, but when Hal, accidentally comes in my hotel room on the road, I'm like, Eric, come on.
I would venture to say, though, that the very thing that most people point out is...
God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, though.
All right, let's dive into
I got a visual that I really didn't want in my head.
Well, some people did want it. And, maybe you didn't, but...
All right. Whatever.
All right, let's dive into
the
right-wing
world. Way,
so was I.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
We're dealing with one of the most unpopular presidents in history.
Uh-huh.
That's the truth.
Huh?
We're also dealing with one of the cagiest and most corrupt. And we are facing a campaign that is going to be dispiritingly, depressingly negative.
Mm.
Everybody knows.
Because of you,
that
apparently.
The candidate of big government status quo is an utter disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be protected.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you have to understand, Angela, is there is not a conservative movement in the media.
What?
Fox News is not part of a conservative movement.
Mm. Wow, did he just throw Fox News under the bus, too? Someone's feeling grouchy about the 2012 prospects.
Did he go to some sort of event and rub elbows with Glenn Beck and get some sort of bizarre Alex Jonesy panic paranoia disease?
Yeah.
Is airborne paranoia now the problem? Maybe ate something.
By the way, listening to Rush, I just opened a picture of Hal Sparks at the LA Sexy Liberal Show, and oh my God, he is so cute. I gotta get this
but
up right away.
Pictures are still rolling in from that?
Yes. Oh my God, you just kiss me.
For God's sake.
All right. Look at me. I'm like back in this like Tiger Beat. I just have a full screenshot of Hal while Hal's
here.
Yeah,
you have a new locker over there. Why don't you put a picture of him up there?
I'm going to pin him up. sexy liberal pinup.
By the way, did you hear that Mitt Romney had a grassroots event to raise money for himself, and he billed it as a grassroots event, and they had valet parking?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay.
Nice.
Donald Trump on hand.
I mean, the whole Bill Ayers thing is amazing because I believe he wrote the first book.
Obama's
and
first
Bill
book.
Ayers is a brilliant guy, whether
sure
you like him or not, or whether you agree in his thoughts. I mean, that's one thing, but he's a brilliant guy. And it's no question in my mind that he wrote the first book. The second book was written by an average person, which is Barack Obama.
He's just got a different conspiracy theory every day.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He? Yes, mm-hmm. Sure.
And yet he's going to be having a debate that some people are taking seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
None of
that.
The candidates.
Well, some of them are.
Wait, right.
Gingrich is a front runner. Is
Newt Gingrich and Santorum so far? Well, Bogman will be there. She's,
I'm sure
she
will.
For Pete's sake.
She'd go to the opening of an envelope.
I'm sure Perry's going to be there. He's desperate.
All right. Megyn Kelly on Fox News.
He's going to talk about fairness. Fairness, fairness, fairness. Shared burden. But the question is, will Americans look past the rhetoric to the realities? Because, in comparing what Teddy Roosevelt was talking about back in 1910 versus what President Obama's talking about now, it's one thing for TR to go out there and start talking about fairness and having people, the rich support the poor a little bit more. But today, mm-hmm. I mean, we got a 35% income tax rate, and that's federal alone. With state and local and so on, you're up to 50% for some of the so-called rich.
No, you are a dope. What? They were 50% under just Reagan. What are you talking about?
Right. And they don't pay that amount. Nobody does. No matter what your effective tax rate is, your actual tax rate is, your effective tax rate is many times smaller than that. And in case of the richer you get, the smaller it gets. That's the amazing part of it, because the bigger your reach is, the more write-offs you have, the more loopholes there are to act on.
Yep.
And
hey,
so,
Megyn Kelly, let me just knock on your wooden head for a second. And they were 70% over under Eisenhower.
Right. Well, we also shared sacrifices. Part of it was because we were paying for war, and we were paying for the cost of war. Well, guess what? That's what's happening now. All this debt, all this stuff that's making, you know, all this austerity necessary, all this stuff that's making us, you know, having to make cuts to social programs, that's because of debt accrued to blow things up in a desert where people who didn't attack us and weren't at war with us.
Must we have more, Megyn Kelly?
Yeah.
Really?
Is there a risk to the president here in sounding, we used the word earlier because it was from the TR speech, socialistic, which is some criticism, you know, the Republicans have used against him so far.
Well, the Republicans have used it. You haven't. But the Republicans have.
Yeah. Oh, she's a Republican.
Are there any Republicans left?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Republicans? I mean, genuine Republicans?
Steve Doocy and Gretchen Carlson have to pass, I guess.
Meanwhile, yesterday was over at Trump Towers, just within a mile of where we're sitting right now, and he sat down with Donald Trump.
So is the Trump endorsement a really important thing? I mean, I think it's imagery is so important in presidential politics right now, and I think it's important to see that certain candidates come and meet with him.
Uh-huh. Imagery is so important because I understand pictures. Words confuse me.
Especially when they're in history books.
Lots of them.
That's it for us. HowSparks.com for all things HowSparksy and SexyLiberal.com. Get the LA tickets because they sold out in like a couple of days last time. I would go.
At HowSparks on Twitter. Follow me there.
There you go.
Lots to talk about.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.